Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin. We are Lizzie and Justin from Third Space. And this is Turning Towards Life. And we are back for our 456th week of talking with one another. And whether you have joined us for the first time just now, or whether you are one of the many people who have been with us for 456 weeks or somewhere in between, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so good to be with you, to know that you are in circles and circles and circles around this conversation between you and I. Lizzie, welcome to you. It's so lovely to see you as well. And we're going to do what we ordinarily do in a minute, which is that, Lizzie, you have brought a source, an excellent and deep and inviting piece of writing for us that we're going to place in the middle. And then a conversation, a three-way conversation is going to unfold. Lizzie, Justin, and the source, and we're going to take our time to see what comes. And Lizzie, every time you and I have done this, something surprising and revealing and life-giving has come, which is, I think, one of the many reasons why we're still here, 456 weeks in. And to all of you who are with us, we know that you do this too, that either the conversation unfolds inside you, or maybe you take it and you talk about it to someone else, or people, there are people who share it in groups, and you can join us to do this in our third season of what we call Turning Towards Life Live, where we meet monthly on Zoom. And it's been wonderful. We're in the middle of our second season, and the third season begins in September. And if you want to find out about that and about all the ways you can contact us, subscribe to emails, support us, our website is turningtowards.life, and you're very welcome to head over there, and we love hearing from you. So if in the middle or at the end of this you find that you want to be in conversation with us, you're so welcome to do that. We would love that, love that, love that. So in a moment we're going to begin, and I'm handing over to you, Lizzie.
Thank you, Justin. I also just got a rush of excitement, Justin, about season three of Turning Towards Life Live happening, and our subject or topic or whatever you say is going to be love. And I am so amazed that that happens every month, that we do that every month. And I want to invite anybody who's interested to go and have a look and see if you want to come. We'd love to have you. This is a poem called A Different Holding Pattern by our beloved Rosemary Wetullah-Trommer. Hello, Rosemary, if you ever get to listen to this. You are always at the center of things in our hearts. And it goes like this. If I am to hold the world in my heart, then let me hold it the way leaves hold sunshine. Trapping the energy not for the sake of holding it, but to transform it into nourishment. Though the process isn't simple, it's common. All around the globe, in every season, leaves hold and synthesize whatever the day gives them. On a day when the energy of the world seems too much to hold, let me bid my heart turn like a leaf to the sun and make sugar. The way Rilke turned grief into sonnets, the way Sibelius turned war into song.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to read that again. And if you're listening, as you will be, if you can hear me speaking, you might want to take a pause and take a breath and let Rosemary's words in so that they can hold this center place in the conversation. And know that you can find them. We will post them in the show notes and on the website with a link to Rosemary's website. A different holding pattern. A different holding pattern. If I am to hold the world in my heart, then let me hold it the way leaves hold sunshine. Trapping the energy, not for the sake of holding it, but to transform it into nourishment. Though the process isn't simple, it's common. All around the globe, in every season, leaves hold and synthesize whatever the day gives them. On a day when the energy of the world seems too much to hold. Let me bid my heart turn like a leaf to the sun and make sugar. The way Rilke turned grief into sonnets. The way Sibelius turned war into song.
Thank you, Justin. So this poem arrived into my... It's a similar pattern, Justin, where Rosemary's Books, when I'm this kind of person on a Tuesday, I read it and this one jumps out. And when I'm that kind of person on a Sunday, something different jumps out. And this had never jumped out yet to me from her book, All the Honey, until yesterday. And it jumped out because of what's happening in my world. And what it enabled, and as you read it to me and as I was reading it to us, I could feel that it's the uncommon response to things being hard to say there's a different way. Your thing you're trying to do right now isn't working, and you know it's not working. And so there's something different, some other way that we could story this, that it would have us feel different inside of it. And for me, it's enabling me to see that there's a transformation at stake rather than a, like the form of something might change, like something new might be born that I can't even conceive of, rather than me carrying on scurrying about like a hamster in a wheel doing the same thing as I've always done and expecting it to change on its own or something. But there's some way that I can participate in what's happening. That in this first bit, if I held it the way a leaf holds sunshine, trapping energy not for the sake of holding on, but to transform it into nourishment. So making my reason for doing something or my reason for speaking to be nourishment changes the way that I would speak, changes the way that I would think, changes the way that I would approach something. So to be one who synthesizes whatever the day gives me, and turning like a leaf to the sun and having a process happen that is one that is common and that happens is such a different thing than thinking I have to solve this, I have to fix it. A little bit like our brilliant episode last week of Care versus Cure. I don't have, the burden isn't mine. There's something happening here that I'm participating in. I'm not the doer, I'm not the maker, I'm not the determinant or something. And so I can participate unburdened and know there's a process unfolding in which I'm taking part. And that there's nourishment as a for the sake of what? A nourishment for the reason of being in it. And that just changes the whole game for me.
I think this is the most extraordinary source. I was so moved by it, and then by hearing you speak. And I have to tell you just right away, and it's sort of a little side thing, Lizzie, but I have been listening to Sibelius recently. I've discovered Sibelius's symphonies, and oh my goodness, I've been totally transported by them. And he wrote, I don't know, 8 or something. And I've been deep in his world, and it is a world of such beauty and generosity. And as Rosemary says, it was written largely in time of war, much of it. So for anyone who loves stirring, beautiful, emotionally resonant music, I want to say go and find Sibelius's symphonies, and there's probably much else by Sibelius, but that's what I know. And we know Rilke, we've had Rilke here too. So I had this buzz of excitement at knowing some of that, this art that Rosemary is pointing towards. But then listening to you, the thought I had was, our hearts are, as Rosemary is pointing us towards. They are the, they are resonant holding place for transformation. Our hearts are the organs of integration and transformation and unfolding in us. And I think there's so much to be said for cultivating a kind of maturity of the heart, so that when our hearts contract because we're frightened or angry or desperate or needy or longing or something, we've got something else we can do. And reading the poem and then hearing you talk had me think, Lizzie, about a situation I found myself in this week, where I realized, before you sent me this as our source this week, where I realized that what I was in was, oh, there's something I really want from a relationship with somebody else, something I want to change, something that I think is all to do with them. And because I think it's all to do with them, I've got into this process of doubling down on feeling angry and demanding, and like, if I keep going this way, I'm going to get what I want from the other person, and they just have to get with the program with what I want. And about halfway through the week, I caught myself thinking, oh, there it is, this human pattern that I know so well, and I suppose most of us know so well, where we think that if we boil up something inside so it's strong enough, like enough anger or enough desperation or enough want or enough force or enough something, the world will change. We'll get from the other person what we want, or maybe the whole world situation will change. And if we look closely, we can see often, as I saw this week, oh, what I'm doing will never result in what I want, ever. Because the change has to come in me, I'm pursuing a dead-end strategy. Not only is it a dead-end strategy, it's destructive to me, and it's destructive to my relationship with someone who I really care about. And it's also an excellent bit of faulty thinking, because my thinking goes, well, I obviously haven't got insistent enough yet. I haven't got angry enough yet. I haven't got demanding enough yet. So I'll keep on dialing it up. And eventually, but I think most of us, a lot of the time, if we look, we find that those strategies where we think, oh, I haven't done enough yet of the thing that I'm already doing, that's where the error is. Is doing this in the first place was the wrong idea. And mostly it's the wrong idea. And here's where something you said really, really touched me very deeply. Mostly it's the wrong idea because it puts us in the wrong place and in the wrong relationship with the world or with the person. Like, as long as, if I'm in disagreement with you, and as long as I'm keep on putting all of the, I'm okay here, so I just have to get insistent enough and clear enough, and then you will change. If I make that move, I'm completely ignoring everything that you said and everything that Rosemary said, which is that really what's called for is to find out how to transform that insistence, that anger, that desperation, that arrogance, that whatever it is in me, to transform it into something that's much more like the sun, or much more like sonnets, or much more like song. Because first of all, am I getting angrier and angrier and angrier? For example, I mean, that's only one of many strategies. It's never gonna bring me the kind of warm, reciprocal, loving relationship that I want from another person. And it tightens me and constricts me. And what I'm thinking now, as I'm just coming to the end of this speaking for a bit, Lizzie, is, just like leaves turn high energy sunlight into love, basically, you know, that life that unfurls, maybe what's asked of us here is to have our heart be that which will transform what we hold on to so tightly into living in the way, living as the something that we long for. If what I long for is love and reciprocity, can I turn my frustration, disappointment, hurt at all the places I don't feel like I get the love and reciprocity I feel like I'm entitled to or something, or I want? Can I have my heart turn myself into love and reciprocity and then live that way? Which is what which is what plants do,
mm-hmm.
and our hearts do, turning grief into sonnets and war into song.
Mm-hmm.
It's so counter to our ordinary ways of thinking, where we think I've got to go full on in to get, and it most times doesn't lead us anywhere.
It's so interesting to be talking about our hearts, because again, like happens all the time here, I'm like, what even is a heart? There's like the organ, and then there's this other something, which is, I don't even know what that is. It's the a place of intelligence or something. I know. I think we've got to talk about that a bit more. But what it feels to me is that it's the center of things, as in like the way that if our hearts aren't beating, it's game over. Whereas if my kidneys weren't working, it wouldn't be immediately bad. It's like something about the heart is so central, and feeling into what the heart can do. And I think Rosemary really, I think, is working on our hearts, and maybe working on her heart by the writing, but working on our hearts by the publishing and letting it be in the world. Because when I'm in contact with this and so many of her, all of her poems and her writing and her saying, her singing, I feel that's the place it's addressing in me. It's speaking a language that feels like it already knows, but my habitual ways of thinking and being might not be there all the time. And so to feel that there's a place in each of us that has a different answer than our usual answer is deeply reassuring. That when everything, that relationship that you're talking about, Justin, gets a bit ruined or whatever by what we did, there's another place to go other than keeping on doing the same thing again and again, and that we can have faith in whatever we're calling the heart, which is our central, most important, powerful place or something in terms of its way of thinking, processing, feeling, connecting. That is here as a support is huge. And I wouldn't be left just in the confusion of what of the mess I made. There's another place to go. And actually I was having dinner with some wonderful people last night, and we were talking about, as our hearts get bigger and more expanded and take on more complexity in a way, that more truth is able to be told. And the less contact I have with my heart, the less truthful the world is allowed to be with me. And so I'm also receiving this understanding of kind of openness and undefendedness with a growing heart. So in that interaction where we're keeping on doing the same thing again and again and expecting the results to be different, but it's never different, that there could be a way that we're also not either receiving the truth of ourselves or the truth of another person in that moment. As in, we're not seeing very clearly, but if we could see with our hearts, how would we see differently? And what would that have the world become if we were relating from there? And of course, we're all filled with wounds and defenses and strategies and obfuscation and only letting people see the things that we want them to see about us. But the heart is such a different strategist. It's such a different set of permissions and insight and feeling and sensing. And when you were talking, Justin, I was getting in touch with this feeling I have at the moment of when things become so complex that I don't even understand what's going on anymore. You know, that like in systems and in relationships where it's like, I'm lost now. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how anyone makes a decision from here. I don't know who we are. It feels everything's up in question. This then makes some sense. So it makes me really curious about that place of confusion and not knowing and being like in a tumble dryer of complexity and feeling, well, what now? What do we do? How do we navigate this? It feels like this poem gives a way to begin, to feel into something, given that the complexity doesn't give you any kind of obviousness. The complexity doesn't give you any step to take. The complexity just makes it big and unwieldy and confusing. And then the heart is the thing that maybe can cut through and say, hold on, maybe this is true, maybe that is true. And because the hearts are open, we could perceive a truth where before was just pure confusion and being in the tumble dryer.
Yeah, I love the way you're talking about confusion, Lizzie. It's opening doorways for me because for one reason or another, I'm not going to say anything unique about myself here. I'm sure this is true of many of us. I found myself at various times in my life, and if I'm not paying attention, running things round in my mind in the form of language, I can go round and round and round thinking things through and sort of strategizing and thinking things through. And I would say most situations involving life itself and other humans are of the kind of complexity that you're talking about. They can't be reduced to an obvious anything. I mean, even just a one-on-one, how on earth, Lizzie, do you and I make sense of our friendship and relationship that extends back over years? How could you reduce that to any one thing to be said? You could find some things to be true, but if we're in difficulty, most of my going round and round and round thinking either gets me stuck or appears to give me things to do, but they're so partial compared to the bigness of what it is to have a history with another person. And we've each got our own histories, and so that there's another place to go. And I, you know, when you said a few minutes ago, so we really need to talk about what hearts are. And I was thinking, actually, I know that I really feel it. If I let myself feel and respond from this place that is in the middle of my chest, where the physical organ of my heart is, but where also the metaphorical organ of my heart is, or the spiritual organ of my heart. I don't know quite how to speak about this. I know already that something else, something different is happening from relying only on my linguistic capacity, my capacity to put words to ideas. And it very often seems to me that there is something else there that's just waiting for what Rosemary is inviting us into, that given half a chance, wants to hold it all, take it all in, the wholeness of everything, and let it transform into nourishment. That's what this longs for. It's actually such a relief to find that there's something in me that is kind of in a way going, hello, hello, I'm here, I'm waiting, I'm ready. But it does take a measure of letting go of my certainty that I can think this through, or I know that I'm right. It seems to me, isn't it true, Lizzie, that most of what we face in life is of that order? You know, when you said, when we don't know what to do, and we don't really understand how we got here, and we don't know what's going on now, and it's not clear what the next step is, that's when it's so easy to double down. So I wanted to talk about practicalities. Like for me, feeling this place, got my hand here on my heart, and I can feel myself breathing in and going, yes, there's something, there really is something here that can respond differently. But then the other thing that is brilliant about Rosemary's poem, and very simple, is it offers us a way to go out and learn from the world around us, which I think helps us a lot. So if I sit here in front of my computer screen in my office with my books, and which I love it here, I have a different way of responding than if I go out of the door and find trees and go, teach me, please teach me. And then I can look and watch and feel what it might be like to be like a leaf. And you can just go out and see the leaves doing, you can't see the chemistry, but you can see the leaves doing their thing. And I think that, and maybe that's the point of poetry, and maybe that's the point of this kind of conversation, is that it offers us a different story in which to understand what we are. And Rosemary is telling us, and we're telling one another, we're more like leaf than we know.
Mm.
Or we can be. It's not so far away from us. And anybody, for anybody who's listening to us, Lizzie, who hasn't discovered Rosemary's body of work, we know from knowing Rosemary and from reading lots of Rosemary that turning grief into sonnets is what Rosemary's been up to for years, among other things. And it feels very hopeful to me, if I just come in, start in close with me, to know, oh, my ways of doubling down on being angry, frustrated, separate, arrogant, in the right, are only a hand's breadth away from that of me that will hold everything and let it become something else, so that in my speech and in my loving and in my relating and in my hands and in my heart, something else comes forward that doesn't have to know the answer to how we sort this all out, but does know a next step in which it's possible to be nourishing, straightforward, here, open, many-chambered. It's not far.
You know, you said leaf loads of times just then, and we've got a pumpkin situation in our garden where we planted this tiny pumpkin seed, and I most years I plant tomatoes with my children, and then we water them every day, and we're miraculized by the fact this little thing's become these big things they've now become. But we've never done pumpkins before because our garden's really tiny, it's just got a couple of little beds, and this year we just planted one pumpkin seed, and its leaves are absolutely humongous. And probably there's loads of gardening people listening, and I'm just a gardening doofus or whatever, but what I'm seeing in this moment, and this might be obvious, but it's not obvious to me till this moment, is that the leaves are absolutely massive, and there's no pumpkins yet, but the leaves are bringing in their massiveness, all the sunshine whilst the sunshine is shining, and then we don't get pumpkins till October or something. And I'm feeling the kind of, this way of trapping energy for nourishment, for the purposes of nourishment, is not necessarily time-bound in the way that we might need or like or something, but it is there. You know, like the nourishment maybe came 3 years ago that has my pumpkin flower now. Or I had to go through the sun time in order to be able to speak the pumpkinness. Or I'm calling on something else from a different time that has me be here in the way that the pumpkin could flourish. So I'm feeling the magic, in a way, of seasonality and timing that also isn't separate from the way that nourishment actually arrives in the place. So when I'm in the moment with you, I might not feel that the sunlight and my leaf filled in order for nourishment to happen between us, but it might come in 2 months' time because of something I did in the intervening time. But this, sometimes a demand, I think, in me for kind of immediacy or sorting something out or never going to sleep on an argument or, you know, all those kind of things. Maybe there's also something else to trust and receive from that's of a different timing order than we would demand or we are demanding in the moment in relationship or in systems or complexities that we're in. So I'm thankful to my leaves in the garden. I'm really thankful to my tomatoes and the fact that a seedling produces that and that it's all possible, my goodness. And thankful to Rosemary as well, because who knows the timing of this poem and how long the nourishment happened before this piece of fruit came. And grateful to everybody for being here and grateful to you, Justin, for your openness and your listening and the slowness of this. It's really wonderful. So thank you, everybody, for being here. We're going to be back next Sunday again. And in the meanwhile, we will be holding Rosemary in our hearts. I will be anyway, keeping on learning for her, reading from her, reading more of her poems. And we'll see you all again next week.
Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.